First off, I want to recognize Miss Tammy Henley back there. It's my great privilege for her to stand along with her husband, whatever his name is, he just goes with her. Trent was here a couple weeks ago. Tammy was home taking care of her mom and grandma, and we missed her last week. So these guys will be our newest members as of next week, and I wanted Tammy to stay. I think next week's the fourth week, so make sure you welcome them in. I told them when you were not here what a great time we had at your home, so we enjoyed it, so thanks. It's good to see you. It's an honor. It's a privilege always to stand before the people of God, my family. So I thank you for the opportunity. I do have an agenda today. I'm going to let you in on it. Number one, it is to be extremely brief. Number two, I have absolutely no funny stories. Sorry, Griff. I have no illustrations. I just want to cause you to remember today. There'll be nothing new that I say for you today, probably, but I'd like to reinforce the truth of God's Word. So I want you just to sit back. I don't even want you to take any notes. You don't need notes today. I just want you to relax and focus on the table. And let the Word of God, by the Spirit of God, speak to you today. Let's pray. Father, we come to you this morning and acknowledge that you are great, you're holy, and Father, creator of all things. And Father, what we need most this morning is you. Father, you know me better than I know myself. You know my weaknesses and my sin and the filth that's in my life. And Father, I stand before your people and your table today only because of Christ. Father, accomplish what you will in the lives of your people today. And Father, it's in your name we pray. Amen. Thanks for the music. Thanks for the music always. For you guys that play and you guys that sing. Thanks for the table that is before us from Mr. Gunther. I appreciate that. And we could have just read the song that we just sang. How deep the Father's love for us. How vast beyond measure. That he would give his only son to make a wretch his treasure. How great the pain of searing loss. A father turns his face away. And wounds which mar the chosen one bring many sons to glory. Besides that, we're not here. We're not before a table. Behold the man upon a cross. My sin upon his shoulder. Ashamed, I hear my mocking voice call out among the scoffers. It was my sin that held him there until this was accomplished. His dying breath has brought me life. I know that it is finished. I will not boast in anything, no gifts, no power, no wisdom. But we today will boast in Jesus Christ, in his death, in his resurrection. Why should I gain anything from his reward? I cannot give an answer. But this I know with all my heart. His wounds have paid my ransom. That's enough right there, folks. It's a great song. John Piper says the purpose of the Lord's Supper is to receive from Christ the nourishment and strength and hope and joy that come from feasting our souls on all that he purchased for us on the cross, especially his own fellowship. Where, beloved, can we find richer instruction than at the table of our Lord? There is more teaching in the Savior's body and the Savior's blood than in all the worlds besides. Charles Spurgeon. The Lord's Supper, which was instituted by Jesus, and which is the only commemorative act authorized by him, dramatizes neither by his life or his birth, neither his words nor his works, but only his death. Nothing could indicate more clearly the central significance which Jesus attached to his death. It was by his death that he wished above all else to be remembered. John Stott. John Murray describes the Lord's cross work as the most solemn spectacle in all of history. A spectacle unparalleled, unique, unrepeated, and unrepeatable. What if I couldn't approach the table? What if you couldn't come? What if it was blocked off? It was off limits. You could just sit there and look at it, know what it stood for, but you couldn't come. You were separated. And this beautiful picture you have in front of you, am I doing all that? Am I doing all that? Is that better? I'll quit doing that. All right, we'll try that. Sorry. But if we could just look at it and we're cut off from it. Romans 6:23 says the wages of sin is death. What we earn for our sin is death. Sin entered the world through one man, and that nature was passed on to us. And I am guilty because I sin. So how could I come? How can I come to the table? Romans 3:9 says, I are legally guilty and condemned because of our sin. Ephesians 2:1, Romans 5, 1 Corinthians 15 says we are dead in our trespasses, in our sin, and without hope. John 3:36 says we're under the wrath of God. Romans 2:5 says the threat of eternal vengeance is looming over our heads because man is a lawbreaker. Again, I ask, how can I come to the table? Ephesians 4:18 says we are darkened in our understanding. We're alienated from God. Our hearts are hardened. And we're blind to spiritual things. Titus 1:15-16 says we're defiled in our mind's conscience. Colossians 1 says we're trapped in darkness. 1 Corinthians 2:14 says we are without understanding. So how could we ever think we could come to the table? John 8:34 says anyone who practices sin is enslaved in sin. And I practice sin. Romans 8:7 says we are hostile towards God and can't submit to God's law. John 3:19-20 says we hate the light. Romans 3:11 says we don't seek after him and we have absolutely no desire for God. Now, if just one of these things is true, just one, man, we're in bad shape. Man is in deep trouble. But to man's utter woe and to our misery, all these gruesome descriptions are true. And they're just a few of them. So how? How can we get to the table? It would take a miracle. It would take something miraculous to overcome what I've just read, for us to be welcomed and have a seat at this table. And it's exactly what we receive. Ephesians 2:4 says, "But God, being rich in His mercy, because of the great love which He loved us, even when we were all those things, even when we were dead in our trespasses, He made us alive together with Christ." Romans 5:8 says, "God showed His love toward us, that while we were still all those things, sinners, Christ died for us." So I've got about 10 or 15 minutes here. And I just want you to remind you from the Word what Christ accomplished through His death, through the cross, through His blood, and through His body. And I want you to really understand where you were and what He's done. So I want you just to let the Scripture just hit you. I think one of the greatest common graces in the world is a shower. I love to get in the shower. Just turn the water on, especially when everything's right and it's warm, and it just comes down. And I thought, it'd be great if the Word today would just come down and just hit you and just roll over you, that you would see what it cost, what He accomplished through the death, through the cross, through His blood, and through His body. So my intent is just to read the Scriptures to you, and just let it hit you before we come to the table. Ephesians 2:16 says, "God has, even though we were like that, reconciled us, both Jew and Gentile, into one body to God through the cross, having put to death the hostility." Colossians 1:20 said, "Christ made peace through the blood of the cross." Hebrews 2:14 says, "Christ shared in their humanity. He came down in order that through His death He might destroy the one who has the power over death, that is the devil, and free all those who their lives were held in slavery by the fear of death." Hebrews 2:9 and 10 says, "We see Jesus through His suffering of death being crowned with glory and honor, so that by the grace of God, in behalf of all, He might taste death. For it was fitting for God, in bringing many sons to glory, should make the founder and author of their salvation perfect through His suffering." See, the cross is there to get us to the table. It brings us peace. We were once under wrath and hostility. Now we come in, and He gives us peace. He reconciles us to Himself. He puts to death and wipes away God's hostility to us because of sin. His death gets us to the table. He defeated our great enemy, Satan, and death. It brings us freedom. And add His suffering makes perfect our salvation. The body of Christ, Colossians 1:22 says, "He has, God, now reconciled you in His body of flesh by His death in order today to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before Him. So we come to the table today, and as we come, and we're reconciled through Christ's body, and He's working now to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before Him. Hebrews 10:10 says, "By that will, believers have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all." We come to the table today because He sanctified us. He set us apart. He's made us holy by this one-time gift of the body of Jesus. 1 Peter 2:24 says, "He Himself bore our sins in His body on the tree that we might die to sin and live righteous." The table is a beautiful picture of the unique substitutionary sin-bearing death of Jesus for all who believe. It enables us to come. Makes us think of Isaiah 53:5. "He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. And upon Him the chastisement that brought us peace. And by His wounds, by His body, we are healed." Christ's body has reconciled us. It presents us holy and blameless. We stand before Him above reproach. We're set apart by the gift of His body. He has brought us peace. And by His body, we are healed. That's why we can come to the table. Today, Jesus says, "Take and eat. This is what I accomplished with my body that was broken for you." The blood of Christ. Go to Romans 5:9. It says, "We as believers have been justified by His blood. Much more shall we be saved from the wrath of God." 1 John 1:7 says, "The blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin." We come to the table today because we're declared righteous before God, justified, saved from the wrath, cleansed of our sin. All that sin is gone. And we've been granted forgiveness. Hebrews 9:12 says, "He, Christ, entered once for all into the holy places, not by the means of blood and goats and calves, but by means of His own blood, this securing an eternal redemption." A sacrifice never needs to be repeated, secures our eternal redemption, and releases us from the oppression of sin. Acts 20:28 says, "God acquired the church through His body." The body at Grace, we here, were purchased and bought by the blood of Christ. Ephesians 1:7 says, "Christians have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins." Revelation 5:9-10 says, "Christ purchased for God by His blood men from every tribe and language and people and nation, and made them a kingdom, a priest, and they will reign on earth." See, the body of Christ brings us to the table. The cross of Christ brings us to the table. The death of Christ brings us to the table. And the blood of Christ brings us to the table. These scriptures for the blood says we're justified. Man, we're declared that we are right. We're saved from the wrath of God. Our sins are cleansed. We have a secure, eternal redemption. We have now no oppression from sin. We've been purchased, forgiven, saved, bought, made part of the family, adopted, and given a sure hope and an inheritance. Jesus says, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this and remember me. See, it's all about this. All God's promises are made yes right here. And amen. At the death of Christ, at the cross of Christ, by the giving of His body, and the giving of His blood. God is so good to have given us Christ. We could have been left like we were. But His body and His blood and the cross and His death accomplish so much for us today. Maybe you're here today. Nothing worse for us than elders when we pray is to think about people in our congregation that may still not know the gospel, still not understand it as we pray. God, we want our body to be redeemed and unified. And today you may be here and you say, you know, I'm still in my sin. I'm still in all those first scriptures. I'm still in all that first part. I don't quite get it. Maybe you've never repented of your sins and turned from them and invited Christ in, and you trust Him. If you're not sure about that today, don't leave. And ask us. We don't have all the answers, but we'll help you. There's tons of people that can help you. Do not leave today without understanding what Christ has done for you. Today is a day of salvation. If you're part of the family of God today, all you got today was the Word of God. And that should be enough. It should be enough. And I hope that these truths have encouraged you, that you've seen where you were and still are at times, and exactly what He's done. All the things that have been accomplished through the picture that we have before us. So today, come to the table with a grateful heart for all that He's done for us. As Blaine comes, and as Gil comes, we will read. I just pray you just remember a piece or two of Scripture of what He's done for you as you come to the table. At Grace, we practice open communion. If you're visiting with us today and you want to participate, you want to come to the table, if you're a baptized believer, you're not under discipline from another church, we invite you to come. Come and enjoy the fellowship we get from Christ and all that He has purchased on our behalf. Let's pray. Father, Your word is clear. Father, before You opened our eyes and removed our heart of stone, Father, we were all those things, and some still may be. Father, we were children of wrath, and we hated the light, and we loved darkness, and we were Your enemy. And Father, we've broken Your laws, and we've sinned against You. And Father, we say it, but we really don't believe it, that we would deserve to be cut off, separated, and thrown in hell for our disobedience. And Father, that is true. And Father, for those that are here that are still there, Father, I pray that you would open their eyes, open their ears, change their heart. Father, for us that's happened, Father, and we're reminded of who we really are and what You've done for us. Father, God made flesh, came into this world and lived a holy and perfect life in deed and in motive. And Father, went to a cross, was beaten and bruised and chastised and spit upon in order to accomplish our freedom, our forgiveness, our reconciliation, our justification, all that we read about, Father, you accomplished here by your death on the cross with your body and with your blood. Father, may we come today with thankful hearts and enjoy our time. Enjoy our time at the table. Father, it's in Christ's name we come. The only name we can come to the Father is through you. And it's in his name we pray today. Amen.